Yes, you heard me correctly. Ooh, Cindy McCain, Miss Buffalo Chip. Oh, it's just really scary. It's 303-713-7600, and my name is Erin Hart, and I'm filling in for J. Marvin all this week. I'll be with you today too. And before I get anywhere, I wanted to give you a biker update. I know many of you listened to my rant against bicyclists, not bikers, bicyclists. And I have to say, I did double check on my bicyclist friend who was smacked by a car up here. And guess what? The driver of that car was charged with vehicular assault. So good for her that she got charged, and good for him that he had her charged. And he's got a new bike, and he's doing fine, and he didn't get physically hurt, thank goodness. But I just thought I'd give you a follow-up and know that I am concerned about my bicyclist friends that get hit, even though I don't like driving behind bicyclists, and I wish they had a raised lane all to themselves. All right. Now, I think that's the best solution so far, is that European solution. Give them a lane of their own, higher up or lower down, I don't care which way it is, than the rest of the people, because that way we don't get in each other's way. But maybe we're too segregated as a country. Anyway, they say that we only talk to people who agree with our opinions. We only live in neighborhoods where people agree with our opinions. That is not true with my. I was out on my early morning walk the other day with my pooch, Pedro, and I'm walking around, and there are a lot of signs up for conservative people in my neighborhood. So I thought, ooh, is the neighborhood changing, or am I living in an integrated neighborhood? Because most of the signs, quite frankly, are liberal, but still, it was like, whoa, new day in the neighborhood. No signs for McCain, though, oddly, just for the Republican candidate for governor, who, by the way, is not calling himself a Republican. He says he's from here. You can label yourself whatever you want, and we're going to have a top two tier primary, too, which will be interesting. The top two will get elected, which should help third-party candidates, but they're all up in arms because they don't think it will help them here for sure because of the name recognition factors, among others. But in any event, I notice when I'm looking, and maybe this is happening in Colorado too, but the Republicans aren't running as Republicans. They're running as the members of the GOP party up here. The guy, the Dino Rossi, the candidate for governor, is actually calling himself the GOP party, like the grand old party, the grand old poobah. He's like, can't even fess up and confess, oh, I'm a conservative and I don't care. Can't do it. Can't do it. He won't do it. He's not doing it. He stumbles over the very word. Can't say it. I'm a grand GOP party. Okay. Are you ashamed of being a Republican, thanks to George W. Bush and his efforts in, say, oh, Iraq? New book out today, The Way of the World. We're trying to book him. It really is sad. But let me concentrate on the South show. Will it rise again, and will it rise for Barack Obama? Now, in Dickey's article, he doesn't say George Walker Bush, but he does call him Barack Hussein Obama. If we're gonna call him George W. Bush, I mean, if we're gonna use middle names, let's use Walker too, to make George Bush out to be the patrician member of New England society that he is. Because if you think George Bush is really Southern, watch him slip up and screw up his Southern accent sometimes. It's totally put on. 303-713-7600. Now, Dickey drove through Tennessee, Georgia, and the Carolinas, roughly retracing what he calls the deepest scar in the country, the track of total war left by Union General William Tecumseh Sherman in 1864 and 65. And he talks about this whole area because, as it is known, one of the experts he quotes, Merle Black, a political scientist at Emory University, says if you don't win anything in the South, you need 70% of the rest of the country. If you can win some of the South, that gives you some breathing space. Well, you all know by now, if you've been listening to the show this week, that my favorite electoral college map is electoral-vote.com, although our friend Noah gave us another one too yesterday. That currently has Obama with 289 electoral college votes, McCain with 236, and ties at 13 of the votes, which even if McCain won, if my mathematics served me correctly, yeah, that's 249, he still would lose. So I guess that fits the bill. But the only state, it looks like, in the South that Barack Obama might win at this point is Virginia, according to this map, which is tied. That's the 13 votes, by the way. North Carolina is at 15 electoral college votes. And this is important because Birch Bayh never did abolish the electoral college, sadly. North Carolina is teetering on the edge. So what does this mean? Well, it means Barack Obama's got to rack up some states in the West. He's got to take Indiana, which, you know, argues for the picking of Evan Bayh, although I don't know. He's narrowly leading there with the poll, 48% to 47%. Now, a Washington poll came out today. That's the latest poll. And Barack's numbers are dipping. He's down from a high of 55% down to 45%. But McCain plummeted as well from the only high he's had, which is like 43%, call it, down to 35%. So that's the new presidential poll that's out today, which leaves Washington's 11 electoral college votes solidly blue. So does a president, you know, the canard has been that you have to win the South, or at least part of the South, to be president of the United States. Apparently, if you don't win one state, you still need to win 70% of the rest of the country. I guess that means by that, it means the vote, the electoral college votes. But Dickey was troubled. He said, "The South I saw was troubled by changes that go well beyond this change election. A generation that grown up with traumas more immediate than those of the 1860s or the 1960s. Shanna Sprouse, 21 and white, was born and raised in Spartanburg, South Carolina, so she's going to vote for Obama because her 26-year-old boyfriend is racked with cancer, and she and he have spent the last 2 years trying to find ways to pay for his treatment, or now his hospice. Jobs are disappearing to places truly foreign, not mock strange states like California. New immigrants are bringing brown to a color of the map, which has long has been black and white. There are actually Latinos living in the South now." And so the complexion of the South, literally and figuratively, has changed. Slave descent. There was at one point in time there was a suggestion that slaved people, blacks descended from slaves, might not be supportive of the half Kenyan, half Kansan, Hawaii reared Obama. But apparently, Dickey notes, he's got huge support, and he does have huge support in the African American community, and good. Some of my cousins, however, are a bit reluctant about Barack Obama, even though they know. I nailed one of them because she said, "Well, he just doesn't seem right." And I went, "Wait a minute. Are you saying that because you think he's Muslim?" Because I was afraid. And she said, "No, I went to Snopes.com. I know he's not Muslim, but I just don't know whether I can vote for him." And I hate to think that anybody in my family would be prejudiced against Muslim people, but, you know, there's a fear. It's fear. It's basically other. That's what the fear is. And Obama, I think, is still other to many people in America. John McCain is like an old boot. He's more familiar. And because he did the straight talk express thing and he's been courting the press for years, I don't think he's getting the kind of scrutiny that he should. Because he has been screwing up on foreign policy. He's made several Bush League amateur mistakes. He has been flip-flopping. He has been pandering, as he did in Sturgis the other day with his wife. Really pretty disgusting. But, you know, I don't know. Can it win over? The word on Obama is that he's doing very, very well with whites, 47 to 37%, who earn under $27,000 a year. But with whites who earn more than that, he's not doing as well. And I would hope that we were free of prejudice in this country and that people could join together and vote for an African-American on the basis of his character, not his skin color. But, you know, I worry about that. And I worry about whether the South would go for it. But apparently, even if every single Southern state goes for Obama and Ohio goes for McCain, he'll still win because he'll win all of New England and Pennsylvania, which is now getting more and more solidly in Barack Obama's corner. With Indiana, it has to be that way. But he can't lose Colorado. He can't lose Nevada. So we're becoming a very key state in the pieces of the puzzle. It's 303-713-7600 on J. Marvin's show. I'm wondering what you think of that. And today's the day. The East Coast establishment press is predicting that Barack Obama will pick Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana as his veep. I don't think that will happen, actually. I really don't. I don't think that will happen. And it was John Nichols who said, oh, people from the East Coast think, oh, they'll vote, you know, they'll vote for him in Ohio because he picked Evan Bayh. Not necessarily. So I'm wondering, you know, do you think that is the best choice for Obama someone like Evan Bayh, who's kind of bland and kind of boring, or should he jump down into the heart, deep in the heart of Texas, and snatch Chet Edwards from relative obscurity into the prominent spotlight of the vice presidency? I think Tim Kaine or Chet Edwards. I'm leaning towards both of them. That's who I think would be the better pick. Bill Richardson, I know, is good, but New Mexico's already in the bag pretty much as a state we can win. And I don't know whether, you know, Latinos are already going for Obama like 66 to 23%. So I don't think he necessarily needs him. What do you think? 303-713-7600. And the other thing we're going to talk about this morning is the new book out by Ron Suskind called The Way of the World, which basically shows that the Bush administration pretty much not only knew they were being told absolutely no weapons of mass destruction by one of the chief intelligence officers of Saddam Hussein. Instead of getting him close to Saddam Hussein and, say, taking him out or deposing him or doing something intelligent or offing him, okay? They didn't do that. They just went, oh, no, we want total war. We must have total war, total war. We must have total war. And even went as far, allegedly, to falsify a letter from said intelligence leader claiming that this was into the war, by the way. Oh, yeah, he did have weapons, and he was meeting with Abu Nidal, you know, the Palestinian terrorist, Al-Qaeda guy. Yeah, that's it. 718. It's really sad. It's 303-713-7600. Lots to talk about on the political front. Maybe something else is possessing you today, though, so bring up whatever you like. I don't think we have a guest planned until maybe the last hour to talk about the anthrax case, which is also extremely interesting and very dense. New revelations about that most every day. Do you believe it? Do you buy it? I don't know. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin on this Wednesday morning. Stand by for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Can Barack Obama win any of the South? Now, I don't know. I've got relatives in the South. I'm not certain. You know, there are a lot of people in the South, apparently, who believe that, it says even a cousin, third cousin of mine in the mountains, this is John Dickey talking, in the mountains of North Carolina, an independent-minded Democrat who voted for Gore in 2000 and Bush in 2004, says he can't bring himself to vote for Obama either. Why? Because I believe he's a Muslim, said my cousin. Not so, I said. He was raised a Christian and he is a practicing Christian. My cousin shook his head. I just don't believe him. It's like, ah! So, and I think that prejudice does appear in this. I do. I think there are some people who are afraid to vote for Barack Obama. I do think that there is some racial prejudice in this. I think there is some fear and suspicion of the other. And if you spent the better part of, and you and your family spent the better part of 400 years of oppressing African Americans, you might be afraid what would happen when African Americans got in power too. I think it's a bogus fear. I think it's a stupid fear. I think it's an irrational, sad fear. But I always try to find reasons to explain things. And Dickey points out the South is not as up for grabs. You know, the South is uncomfortable. Things are changing. Jobs are disappearing in the South. It's been hit very hard by the abandonment of, although some of the furniture industry apparently is coming back, it's not back yet. And it's a scary place. So I don't know, can Barack Obama win over the prejudice of people? And can he win over, say, middle class white women who were, you know, or upper class white women who supported Hillary Clinton? Mike in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I'm pretty swell.
I really like your show, by the way. Just want to say that.
I'm glad you do.
So I called about this whole thing about winning in the South and the whole influence of the South on the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually been kind of behind Obama for a long time. Not, he wasn't my first choice, but after my first choice dropped out, I got behind
him.
Who
was your first choice? I'm just curious.
I actually was into Joe Biden.
Okay.
Because I think he's really smart and experienced. But anyway, I got behind Obama because I think actually that he represents the possibility to break the Republican stranglehold on the South for the first time in, you know, a really long time.
Well, that's what I thought, too. And up until a couple of days ago, North Carolina was leaning towards blue, which just used to, I used to look at it. I used to call it up every day so I could just look at, you know, one of my grandparents, where my grandparents lived in Charlotte, you know, and I was like, ah, I just used to look at it every day because I've spent a lot of time in North Carolina and South Carolina, and I love both of them as states, if not their governments. But I just don't know. It looks like Virginia may be the only southern state now. West Virginia's leaning towards McCain. Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas are all solid red. And Missouri just went back to being red, which is sad because I was hoping Claire McCaskill could help turn things around.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But, you know, I'm basically looking at those polls and just I don't believe them, actually. I just don't believe them.
Because of the younger people's cell phone phenomena?
Well, yeah. I think there's plenty of people still who really aren't even paying attention yet. They're not ready to decide. They're not ready to focus on what's happening. And
I know. We're all possessed by politics, but they're not necessarily.
Right, right. But anyway, I'm thinking that Obama could take a couple of the states with really large black populations like Mississippi, like Georgia. I think he's actually got a really good shot in Georgia because of Bob Barr.
You know, if Bob Barr siphons off enough of the boat, we could do the triangulation of Clinton. And I was listening, Clinton, Perot. Absolutely. I think one of the things that was interesting to me, I heard, and I can't remember, I'm now like trying to flashcard because sometimes I'm kind of sleepy when I'm trying to watch TV to store up information for us, you know. And I think I heard someone say that, it was Ed Rollins. I like to give credit where credit is due. And he's been really providing very fabulous analysis for CNN, I think. And he says that he thinks that since I think Lyndon Johnson, no one has won anything but a plurality of the vote in terms of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, there's always been some sort of triangulation, and they have not won with more than 50%. They won with a plurality. So maybe that's going to be hope for our guy, too, you know?
Yeah.
I have been for Barack Obama pretty much from the beginning. I was so amazed by his speech at the 2004, and I thought about it a long time, watching Hillary, but once he got in the race, even though I really would love to see a woman be president of the United States, she was not my first choice to be the first woman president of the United States.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I really want a woman to be, and I'm trying to cast about to think who I believe that woman will be, and I'm not sure who it is. I do believe, though, that we absolutely need to have more women in the Congress and more women in the Senate. And Nancy Pelosi is definitely right about that.
Yeah, I'm for that, too. You know, you mentioned the Obama speech at the convention, and it was great. It was inspiring. And he has subsequently done several speeches that were fabulous. His speech that he did on race relations in the U.S.
was amazing.
Was absolutely on target. It was dead on right, and it was from the heart. It was real. And, you know, I think part of what we're seeing now with these polls is during the primary campaign, Obama was totally inspiring. And since he's gotten the presumptive nomination, they've toned it way down. And I think, you know, they're waiting until the right time.
Well, it's just don't want him to wait too long, because these days it's the August surprise, not the October surprise. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm a little concerned with all that. I want them to hit back and hit back harder in a way that's smart. You know, I think actually Paris Hilton did them a giant favor. Have you heard that ad of Paris Hilton's?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it hilarious? I just, you know, my estimation of her went through the roof. I've always thought of her as kind of a maybe a canny but not too bright person. Now I think she's actually got some brains in her head, and I'm comforted by that fact.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny, too.
Yeah, I mean, if not, she's got great people behind her, you know, in which case she was smart enough to hire him. But I think that this race has to settle down. I'm with you. But I also believe that his eloquence has got to translate. Now, they've agreed to three debates, and their moderators, I think, have been picked. But I also believe his vice presidential choice is critical here. Who do you think is his best choice to maybe bring in home a couple of states?
Boy, you know, I really don't know. I'm really uncertain about that one. I mean, I'd love to see him pick Biden, and I know they've talked about that, but that's just me personally. I don't know what that would do for the ticket.
Well, I would rather see Joe Biden as, say, Secretary of State.
Yep.
I believe he'd make a great Secretary of State. And I think that, you know, it'd be nice to have a blunt talking Secretary of State in a way. It's like, hey. But and Virginia is still tied, according to the Electoral College map that I like to watch. North Carolina is up for grabs. I even though we have no shot probably at winning Texas, I still think Chet Edwards might be a good pick. People don't know him very well, but they could roll it out and really make a big point of addressing him. Anyway, Mike, are you getting out of town for the convention, or are you going to endure the crowds? Oh, I think he went away. Hi, Alan Longmont. Welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm pretty swell. You?
Real good. Everything's going well. The point that I wanted to make on this whole thing is that, you know, I think that people need to look at the integrity of the individual, the intelligence, and the work ethic, you know, as well as their judgment. And one of the things that doesn't seem to be coming out in the press is if you go back and you look at McCain, and if they can go back and look at his war record and how he was in Hanoi Hilton, and that was very admirable. There's no doubt about that, what he did sticking by his guys. But if they can go back that far, then they can also go back and talk about how the only way he got into Annapolis was daddy and granddaddy. Right then, he was an idiot screw-off, graduated 885th out of 889.
Yeah, he was like fourth from the bottom, right? Yeah.
And, I mean, George Bush was at least a C student. This guy was like D-. And as an educator, right, I mean, I don't want somebody who had that kind of poor performance and lack of intelligence and lack of work ethic basically running the country. I think the other thing that doesn't come out is that his wife, his first wife, and he had three kids, two of them might have been adopted, but, you know, she stood by him the whole time he was at Hanoi Hilton. When he came out, she worked with him to try and support the troops coming back. And then apparently she was injured or had some illness and became somewhat debilitated. And then he's out fooling around on her. And he's out fooling around with Cindy.
With the woman.
At the time was like 18 or 20.
Yeah.
Right? And
she
then he married her a month after he divorces the other one. I mean, you look at that, and then you look at Obama, okay? And Obama, okay, maybe being black helped him to get into Harvard. Okay, I'm not going to
No, he
that
didn't
that
even
kid.
Put that he was black on his application.
It doesn't matter, okay? He gets in, he does well, he comes out, he's president of the Harvard Law Review. As a black lawyer from Harvard, he could have gone anywhere. He could have gone to any partner in the country
and made
a ton of money.
He had offers.
And instead, he elected to go to the streets of Chicago, right, to help the underprivileged, become a professor at the University of Chicago. He's been married to the same woman all this time and has a family that really supports him. I think people need to look at those two differences. And for me, that's the deciding factor. All this other stuff is fluff. If it comes down to the individual, look at that.
And you know what? You're sounding exactly like a voter sounds, because apparently when we pick presidents, we don't vote for party. We pick an individual. We pick a leader. So
I'm a registered independent.
And you're one of the trend, because Colorado's got, I think, more independents proportionally than many other states. And certainly it's a third independent, a third Democrat, and a third Republican now. I agree with you. I have one question for you, though, that troubles me mightily, which is on the experience question, but also why, and as an educator, I definitely want to ask you this, why are people in the United States of America afraid of smart people? Because they apparently are.
Okay, one of the big problems that we have looking at this energy situation is that we have a bunch of lawyers running the country. We don't have people with technical backgrounds that really understand the issues anywhere in the Senate or Congress. There might be one person, and I think that that's a real problem, is that we have non-technical people at every level running the government. And I think that that's a problem. I don't understand why, I don't think there's an issue with smart people. I just don't think that you have a lot of people that have the financial support to run for office. You know, that people have to work.
Oh no, I think that's true too. Absolutely, Al. But I think the voters are afraid to vote. I mean, they voted for George Bush over Al Gore. Well, they didn't really. I mean, Al Gore won that election. Let's all face it. I mean, I'll never ever believe that George Bush actually won that election, because he did not. But I just the facts fly in the face of it, but it's still appalling to me that, you know, they're doing it to Obama now. They're trying to paint him as this elite, effete, you know, above us all, snobby kind of guy, and John McCain's a man of the people who'd sell his wife out to a beauty contest in Buffalo Chip, South Dakota. You know, it's just, All right. Thank you very much for your call, Al. I have to jump to a break. It's 303-713-7600. I got to catch up with a demonstration that's going on against the oil and gas folks. Thank you, John Turk, for sending that to me. John Turk's bringing you Colorado's progressive traffic right now, 737. Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking about playing the Deliverance banjos, because the South apparently is hearing Deliverance banjos. They think that a Barack Obama sounds preachy and they don't like being told what to do. Well, you know what? Nobody likes being told what to do, and Barack Obama can get a little preachy perhaps, but I'd prefer to have a lyrical, preachy president who's smart as a whip, understands our problems from a deep and widely read perspective, who understands and has great advisors, than somebody like McCain who's been joking around, "Hi, I'm going to have my wife run for Miss Buffalo Chip. Aren't I cool?" No, thank you. No, thank you. Solomon in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yow.
I've been listening to the show every morning, but I've never called in. I'm really excited that you're on the show. You need to have your own show. You're pretty good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I think I need to have my own show, too.
Yes. But I want to say that I don't understand the reason why we are not setting the agenda. We allow McCain to come up with all this information that are really false. Then we are pinned in the corner trying to defend ourselves. This is the same thing that happened in 2004 when Kerry was running.
Yep.
I've only been in this country for 7 years, and all I've seen is things going down and down and down and down. So I don't understand why the media people around Obama are not setting the agenda. We need to go out there, tell Americans what we want to do, what Obama want to do, and try to clarify it as clear, because they are trying to pin to Obama that his policies are really bad for America. Meanwhile, that is not what it is. So that is my only problem. And then on top of that, I also have an issue with when we are being told the reality and what a mess that we are in and what we need to do, then it's a problem. We allow the Republicans to come and have a smear campaign about this and that, and somehow that's what Americans are buying into. And it looks like when somebody's really intelligent, you are really not intelligent. You have to be among the people that will just bring out all these lies and know how to really have a type of smear campaign, and you are going to win. And that is something that is really baffling my mind, and I want to have your opinion on it.
Solomon, you're putting your finger on something very wise, which I think is the Democrats are not very good at demonizing their opponents often. Bill Clinton was probably the best at it, and Hillary can be pretty good. But I really think that you've got your finger on something, because I was just thinking, you know, he should liken Barack Obama, just as they're trying to define Barack Obama. Should Obama, I think he should be trying to define John McCain to a certain extent. But I agree with you. He's got to come back with smart, pithy things to say that resonate with the media so that they can grab the headlines. And what's happening is they're just going, he's calling me this, but I'm really not. Yes. You know, and that doesn't work as well as saying John McCain is. I mean, John Turk was just telling me about his bumper sticker on his car, which says, you know, McCain, Bush's third term, which is, you know, absolutely none of us want to have more of Bush. So nobody, not even right-wing Republicans, want to have more of Bush. So hit him as hard as you can every single time you can with that, don't you think?
That's what I think. We've known McCain. McCain has been in government for, 28 years? That's what Obama says. So we know his record. So I don't think it should be difficult for us to say what a guy stands for, but we are waiting for him to say this is who we are, and that's not what it is. He's saying this is what Obama is going to do is wrong. He's saying Obama is going to raise taxes, which is wrong. And that's what Americans are believing, because I keep talking to a lot of people, you know. I'm only 28 years old. I've been here 7 years, and I see where this country is going, and I'm paying a lot of attention. But I talk to people, and the only thing they can tell me about Obama is what the Republicans are. He's a Muslim. He's that. His name. And I'm like, is that all you believe? Have you really gone to his website? I was listening to your show, and when that 12-year-old girl called in, I was, like, so heartbroken. I'm like, man, I hope we can keep this positive energy going so we can really get the right information and not the wrong information. I want people to judge Obama. If he's really wrong for America, I don't have a problem with it, but it's really going to help me when we sit down and allow the Republicans to smear me with things that I really follow. Then when the guy loses, that we go and sit and say, what happened? Because this, you know, he has the right solution for us. Right now, I don't see anybody that's saying something that is really makes sense to me from my little point of view. So that's all I got to say.
Well, thank you very much for saying it, Solomon. I really appreciate it. And thanks for your kind words about the show. I appreciate them. Thank you so much. I'm Erin Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. Solomon's got some very good points to make. Why isn't Obama coming back harder? Why isn't he coming back tartly? Now, we do have some sound, John. Play the sound that we have of Obama talking about his response to some of the things that that the McCain campaign has been hurling at him, or whatever you've got, because we do have sound from Obama on the campaign trail yesterday.
So now the Republicans are going around. This is the kind of thing they do. I don't understand it. They're going around, they're sending like little tire gauges, making fun of this idea as if this is Barack Obama's energy plan.
And here's one more that he had on the campaign trail that he said yesterday on the campaign trail.
Without a doubt, this addiction is one of our most urgent threats. Gas prices are wiping out paychecks, straining businesses, costing jobs.
And here is another.
McCain and I agree on this. What he didn't mention was that he was in Washington for 26 of those 30 years.
Meaning he was in there for 26 years and he did nothing about resolving the energy crisis. All good comments, but are they as pithy? You know, John McCain's about his wife being Miss Buffalo Chip is going to outdo it. So I like it when Obama gets that fun, lilting tone in his voice when he makes fun of him and say, you know, I like that. I want him to hit back harder, 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 and also keep weaving in why you're better. Keep doing it, because you've got to convince people to take a risk on you. They know who McCain is. They may not think he's the sharpest knife in a drawer, but they do know who he is. And when they look at Obama, when they look at John McCain, they think patriot. They think, you know, serves his country. They don't think automatically. They also don't think scam artist, you know, Keating Five, like some of us do, because some of us are aware of his record. And it isn't all that stellar. Thank you. But there's not enough being mentioned about it. And he won over the press by sucking up to them for so long and trying to paint himself as colorful that they may never be able to see him objectively. So it's up to us to find out the real truth. Now, it's interesting because on Newsweek's page, the topmost story viewed is, who is Michelle Obama? Have we seen much of her? The second is, in search of the real Cindy McCain. Three, Paris Hilton issues tart rebuttal to McCain. So all three top stories on the politics are about women. I don't know exactly what that says, but hey. Bush, the fourth most viewed one, is Bush, China must end detentions. Young people find Obama way cooler than McCain. And the other one is about the black reporter who was booted from a McCain rally, which is appalling, I might add. Rob in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty well. You?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm a first-time caller, actually.
Yay!
I'm a registered Republican. I'm more of a libertarian.
Okay.
But I'm thinking about voting for Obama. And I think his choice of Veep is going to be pretty important for me in terms of who I vote for. And I was wondering what your thoughts would be on Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know the president has to be a U.S. citizen at birth, but I'm not sure on the vice president. He's got executive... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish your thought, and then I'll comment.
Yeah, he has executive experience in the largest state in the U.S. He's Republican. He's a progressive Republican, kind of, is my view about him.
Yes, and he's quit calling us girly
men. Kennedy connection. You know, I think it'd be really, I know he's a Republican, but I mean, right now it's kind of important to try to get past that a little bit and try to look forward. And maybe, I mean, if parties, you know, ideals kind of change a little bit, then that's okay.
I think that's a fascinating idea. He's mentioned the fact, and actually, Schwarzenegger has said he would become Barack Obama's energy czar if asked. I think the hitch here, Rob, it may be the citizenship question, though, because I think because Schwarzenegger could inherit the presidency, God forbid. I think there may be that hitch. I'm not entirely certain. I'm not a constitutional scholar, and if there are any listening, give us a call. But I think that's an intriguing thought. Who's your runner-up choice, real quickly?
For vice president?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. I'm not sure.
Check out Chet Edwards.
I'll be honest with you. I kind of like Richardson. I do. He's got a good, you know, he seems like a pretty good guy. But
keep in touch. Arnold Schwarzenegger rocks. I agree. He's gotten better.
Citizen, and he really worked. He really worked hard to get to where he was at, and I think it would appeal to a lot of Republicans if Obama could kind of, you know, swing more things like that a little bit.
Okay, I'm really glad you called. Thanks for making this your first call to a talk radio show.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Boy, yay. It's 7:51. I love first-time callers. It's 7:51. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. Join the conversation on J. Marvin Show, 303-713-7600. This is the Aaron Hart version of Jay's show. Stand by for traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart. We have very little time, so I'm going to ask Bob and Iona hang in. Trey couldn't hang, but he wants Chuck Hagel for vice president. Whew! All these Republicans. We'll have to talk about this coming up on the J. Marvin Show. 303-713-7600. All that and more. Paris Hilton's comments, John McCain's comments, Barack Obama's comments. All coming up and more on Colorado's Progressive Talk.